Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for us to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priest and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then there were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. So far the reading of God's word. My text is verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. May God add his blessing to the preaching of the word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in the blood of Christ, the blood that was spilled there on Calvary. We sing of that blood, don't we? In a hymn called, O for a Thousand Tongues, the fourth stanza, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Or boys and girls, perhaps one of the songs that you learned when you were young, What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Another well-known and loved hymn, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Or again, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Or again, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Many, many songs sing of that blood. And that's going to be also the new song of the redeemed, sung now already in heaven, and we're going to join them one day in singing that song. We read of it in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And it's talking about the prayers of the saints there, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Singing of the blood of Christ Jesus. Notice with me, the title is of the sermon, His Blood Be on Us and Our Children. Notice, first of all, the significance of that blood. Notice, second of all, it is a cry of incrimination. And thirdly, let it be a prayer of faith. Blood. What is the significance of the blood shed of Jesus Christ? Blood represents the life in a person. And if that blood flows away, your life flows away. It is gone. There are some people, myself included, that really can't see blood. They faint. It's very unnatural that blood should be shown. Except may it be so shown in the rosy cheeks of a healthy face. There are many today in the church that find blood theology repulsive. They don't want anything to do with blood. They like to sing about Jesus being an example, Jesus being a wonderful teacher. But singing about Jesus' blood, they call that awful. What do they call Friday, this Friday that Jesus died there on the cross, even as the lambs that pointed forward to Jesus were also sacrificed? Is it a Good Friday? Yes, we sing about the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of an innocent Lamb of God. It is blood that flowed. It was blood that he willingly shed for us. Pilate over and over pointed to the innocence of Jesus Christ. The chief priests could find no fault in Jesus Christ, and therefore they hire some false witnesses. And now they bring him to Pilate finally because they themselves cannot carry out capital punishment. Yes, their blood, their life would be required of them for what they do. Genesis 9, verse 6, for he who takes a man's blood, by him his life shall be taken, won't it? Jesus was an innocent man, and yet his blood was shed. And we sing about it. We celebrate it. How come? Why is that? Jesus, the innocent Lamb, his blood shed. And it should be. Because it is the blood of him who was declared guilty by God himself. As Jesus stands there in the judgment hall of Pilate, he does not answer when Pilate is trying to ask him if he is innocent of those charges against him. And never does Jesus say, I am innocent. Although that is his condition. He himself never committed a sin. Yet his state, that is the way he stands before God's law in your, my place. He is guilty. For he is bearing our sins on himself. As we read there in Corinthians 5 verse 17. For God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Carrying all the burden, all the guilt of his sheep. All those whom the Father has given him. Beginning with Adam and Eve, going on until the last saint is born and is saved. Carrying the burden of our sin and our guilt. He must be slain. He must go to Golgotha. For as Isaiah the prophet predicted, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. each one of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, Isaiah tells us that he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus must die, because as our God-given Savior, he took the burden of your and my guilt. For God is a just and righteous God. His justice has to be satisfied. As we read in the scriptures, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Christ Jesus, though personally innocent, is put to death by the Sanhedrin, by the people of Israel, by Pilate, by Herod, by the soldiers. But from the viewpoint of God, Jesus is put to death according to God's justice. All of his suffering, all of his sorrow, all of his blood that was shed, beginning when he was only 8 days old and was circumcised and called Jesus. Great drops of blood, can you see them falling when he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he is sweating great drops of blood. Do you see the blood that is dripping from his forehead when that crown of thorns is placed upon it? And when the reed that was in his hand is taken and hits his head with that thorn of crowns on it, the blood is shed. And when the whips of Pilate are taken and he is whipped, even though judged innocent, his back bleeds. And as the soldiers take him there to Golgotha and pound those nails in his hands and in his feet, do you see the blood dripping as he hangs there? And when they check whether he is dead, and the soldier throws a spear into his side just to make sure, do you see the blood and the water flowing there? Bloodshed for his sheep. Bloodshed obediently, because that's the Father's will, that he would save his people. He does it in perfect love as Father. What beautiful blood that showed. What beautiful blood that flowed. What beautiful death that he died, standing in your and my place, standing in the place of all of his sheep that were given to him, bearing the burden of their guilt. He died that we might live. Do you, this Good Friday, do you this evening see the significance of Jesus' blood shed? Can you sing about that blood that flowed, that can make the foulest clean? His blood that availed, can you say, for me? Will you rejoice when you hear those words at the communion table? The cup of blessing that we bless is a communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed unto a complete remission of all of our sins. The significance of that blood. The life of Christ Jesus poured out so that you and I might have life everlasting. He died so that we might live. Brings me to my second point. A cry of incrimination. Jesus stands before Pilate. And as he stands before the judge of the world at that time, there in the courtroom, they hear from the judge over and over, this man has done nothing wrong. This man is innocent. The religious leaders know it. Pilate knows it. And Pilate knows that they bring Jesus here because of their envy of him. The people were beginning to follow Jesus. And so Pilate tries to give the people a choice. They can either take a notorious thief, criminal, or Jesus. What a terrible duo that is. And if that duo is horrible, what shall we say about the people's decision? Edged on by the chief leaders, the chief priests, those who should have been bringing the people to Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Give us the devil. What horrible people. And those people are not just the chief priests and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, or that Jewish mob. But those horrible people are you and me. Because our human nature is no better. By our human nature, we would say, give us the devil. Pilate asked, but then what should I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? And the answer is, crucify him. Crucify him. What evil hath he done, says Pilate. They shout all the louder. Crucify him. An uproar begins. Not only does man in his natural state choose the devil, but he hates God. He's at enmity with God. And then Pilate does a funny thing. He resorts to a Jewish custom. And we can read of that custom in Deuteronomy chapter 21. All the elders of a city that are next unto a slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So somewhere a man was killed. They don't know how, who did it. But at those cities of refuge, they would make this symbolic symbol. We did not kill him. We did not take that innocent blood. And now Pilate uses that to try to escape the blame for what he is going to do. He washes his hands, he says, of innocent blood. Now, of course, even if he had washed his hands 1,000 times in that water, he was not blameless of Jesus' blood. For he was the judge. God, in his providence, had made him the judge of the world power. And he was responsible for what would happen in his courtroom, and he will be accountable to the Lord in another courtroom, which is above his. Why did he do this? Because he was afraid. Because the chief priest had him over a barrel. If you let this king of the Jews go, you're not a friend of Caesar. And Pilate was afraid of Caesar. He was afraid of losing his appointment and possibly even death if the Jews could convey the emperor that Pilate let a Jewish king reign. You see, for Pilate, it was either Pilate or Jesus? And it wasn't going to be Pilate. I wash my hands of this innocent man and I give him over to you, and he has him whipped. Is that what you do to an innocent man? He's turned his head to justice. He closed his eyes on justice. He announces that he is innocent. And what is especially terrible is the response then of the Jewish mob. They cry out, "Let the blood of this innocent man, let the blood of this man be upon us and upon our children." Over against Deuteronomy 21, verse 8, where the citizens of the city of refuge would say, "Accept this atonement for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, O Lord, and do not hold your people guilty of the blood of an innocent man." They say, "We take that blood. We own that blood. Yes, we want him dead. Let his blood be upon us and our children." They shed the blood of an innocent man, but a man who was guilty before God with your my sins. Oh, the horror of their statement, the guilt that is upon them. Pilate was guilty, but now they take that guilt themselves. They shed his blood because they were envious of him and his popularity. They shed his blood because they hate him. And they hate him because of he is God's Son, our Savior, the one who establishes his kingdom. That, beloved, calls for God's wrath. With their words, they incriminate themselves. They are words of self-condemnation. Think a moment. If God is filled with wrath when people kill each other here on earth, what will God say when they shed the blood of God? Do you remember, boys and girls, when Cain killed Abel? We read that the blood of Abel rised up to God, crying to God for vengeance. What about the blood of our Lord Jesus? There at Calvary, the blood of Christ Jesus was spilt, and it cries out to God. And the world continues, doesn't it? The world continues to crucify the Lord afresh. The guilt and the wrath of God continue to increase. The mob says, "Let the blood be upon us and our children." Terrible, terrible words. For it is only 30 years later that judgment was given against the Jews. 3,600 Jews were killed for insurrection. And only 10 years later than that, there were hundreds of crosses surrounding Jerusalem when Titus waged war against it. It is God in his providence pouring out his wrath on the Jews who said, "His blood be upon us and our children." Haven't we seen the Jewish nation pay for that cry during World War II? And now still the years today, the conflict that continues in that land, the blood of the Lord Jesus is upon the Jews who reject the God-given Messiah and want to look at themselves as their own Messiah. But God's wrath not only rests upon the Jews, but against all the wicked world of every age and every nation. For it is the whole world that is at enmity with God and with his anointed one, the Christ. God asks a simple question in the gospel. He asked that simple question of every man, woman, and child who hear that gospel. What think ye of the Christ? What think ye of my Jesus? And the answer of the world is, crucify him. They would spit upon him. With the result that the blood of Jesus is upon them and their children in condemnation. What happened to Jerusalem in AD 70 was only a type of what's going to happen at the end of the world to the wicked. It's not just Pilate, it's not just Herod, it's not just the chief priests or the scribes or the Sadducees or the Jewish mob. No, it will be all those who do not know God in Christ Jesus as their Redeemer, their Savior, their Lord. It will be terrible for them to fall into the hand of the Lord because he is a consuming fire. Listen to that cry that the mob says, his blood be on us and on our children. Horrible incrimination of themselves. As a songwriter says, careless sinner, what will then become of thee? But let's take a look at that cry of the mob one more time. That brings me to my third point. For the words spoken at times wrongly can be also used beautifully. Caiaphas. It's better that one man die than that the whole nation perish. Terrible thing. Caiaphas, I want to kill him. It's better for us. But beautiful words, words of prophecy. God's word, because he said it as a high priest. It's better that one man die, our representative, Jesus, than that the whole nation, that is Christ's kingdom, all of those citizens of that kingdom would die. Or we looked at the words of Thomas, didn't we? Said kind of in sarcasm, well, let's go with him that we may die with him. Thomas, 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 but also beautiful words we saw. Because that's the call of every Christian. Let us go with him that we may die with him. Romans chapter 6, we die with him as he was dead and buried, so also we were plunged under the water that washes away all of our sins. And as Christ rose on the third day, we are raised with Christ. So now this phrase also, may his blood be upon us and our children. In by God's grace, may we pray that prayer in faith. You see, God has taken that which has brought his wrath upon the wicked, and he makes it a means for our salvation. Acts chapter 2. How beautifully Peter brings it out. It was God himself that put Christ Jesus to death. Laid on him by wicked hands. God's will. That his son die in your and my place. And it's the blood of Christ Jesus that has turned God's wrath from us to Christ there on the cross. Taken our sin and guilt, you and I who believe on Christ Jesus, so that we may receive his grace, his favor, his love, his blessings. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and this was magnified the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son for our propitiation. The blood of Jesus appeased God's wrath against our sins. The blood of Jesus turned that wrath away from us to him. What a wonderful, wonderful salvation. We read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all our sins." Say it. Say it, beloved, by faith. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Is there even a day that a child of blood of God that you don't desire that blood of Christ Jesus upon you to wash you and to make you clean? As the blood of that lamb was put over the doorpost there in Egypt and the angel of death passed over, so the blood of Jesus Christ over us. We do not die in our sins, but we are made alive, new creatures. Yes, the children's little song, "What can wash away my sins?" Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is there a day, parents, that you do not cry to God and say, "Oh God, wash me and wash my children in Jesus' blood"? And when you bring your children to baptism, isn't that your desire? That God would wash your and their bodies in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when your children grow up and you become young adults and you confess Jesus Christ, you keep on praying, "Yes, wash me. Wash me by the blood of Christ Jesus." Grandparents here, don't you find yourselves praying, "Oh God, wash my children and their children in that precious blood of the Lamb"? How wonderful that blood of Jesus Christ spilt on Calvary's cross for you and for me and for all of God's elect children. That blood of Jesus damns a Pilate, damns a Herod, damns the soldiers, the mob, and all those who hate God and his anointed Son, Jesus Christ. That blood of Jesus Christ damns them to eternity in hell. But that same blood shall liberate you and me, give us new life, and will bring us and does bring us into fellowship with God in Christ Jesus. Yes, again, at the communion table, the cup of blessing which we bless is a communion of the blood of Jesus Christ. Take ye, drink ye all of it. Remember, believe that his blood was poured out for a complete remission of all your sins. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that the new Jerusalem is built and is established. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes you and I clean, just as if we had never sinned, squeaky clean. How wonderful. Yes, and that's why that blood, as I began the sermon, makes you sing and rejoice. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. By grace, through faith, we pray. O God, may that blood be upon us and our children. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful that we are able to look at our Savior as he went to the cross, falsely accused and yet guilty with our sins. and that guilt taken away. What a Savior. We thank Thee that He willingly shed His blood to save sinners like us. And so, Father, on this Good Friday, going on into Easter, and going on into every day of our lives, may we sing that new song. A song about the blood that has redeemed us, making us Thy children, giving us eternal life. Amen. Let's turn in.